WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's military is pushing deeper into Gaza after it called for more evacuations in Khan Yunis, where its goal is to flush out top Hamas operatives. The IDF's Richard Hecht.
While we've been operating, we are ensuring that there is minimum harm to civilians, with soldiers on the ground going from building to building.
College leaders will testify on Capitol Hill today about anti-Semitic incidents and protests that have grown since the fighting began in October. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
They'll all have to answer for what's been done since those incidents to protect the students, to make them feel less threatened.
A new analysis finds students in Germany, Iceland, and the Netherlands suffered even more during the pandemic than kids in the U.S. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The Program for International Student Assessment examined the academic progress of students in dozens of countries during the pandemic and found there were historic setbacks in reading and math for kids all around the world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at a 3M plant in Wausau are being asked not to drink the water at work after very high levels of PFAS chemicals were found in the private well at the factory. Operators of the Greystone plant say they're working to fix the problem. In the meantime, workers are getting bottled water to drink. The outdoor recreation industry brought in a record $9.8 billion to Wisconsin's economy last year, Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers.
People built some new habits during the pandemic that they continue to have to this day, and that's really, really good news for the state's economy.
For the first time ever, the outdoor recreation industry brought in more than $1 trillion to the U.S. economy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A big winning lottery ticket was sold in Chippewa Falls over the weekend in perfect time for the holiday season. According to a WEIU report, the ticket was sold at the Lake Wissota Travel Shop on County Highway X in Chippewa Falls for the December 2nd drawing. The ticket matched 4 out of 5 numbers in the Powerball and included a $1 power play option, bringing the total winnings from $50,000 to $100,000. The identity of the lucky lottery winner is not yet known. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature would ban landlords, property owners, and agents from discriminating against prospective tenants based on evictions more than 5 years prior. The bill would bar questioning about or denying housing due to evictions that took place at least 5 years earlier. Landlords must also inform prospective tenants that they are not obligated to disclose any evictions that occurred over 5 years prior. State Senator Jeff Smith hopes the bill will address the housing crisis. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the New York Knicks in what's called the knockout round of the NBA in-season tournament at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Damian Lillard.
You know, I think we've learned more and more about it as it's going on, and we've taken more pride in it each game. Against the team that we beat in the last one. You know, I thought we played a pretty solid game against them. You know, we're improving. So one game and then, you know, we off to Vegas.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have entered the AP's top 25, ranked 23rd after beating Marquette over the weekend in Madison. Marquette dropped 5 spots from 3rd to 8th after losing to the Badgers. NFL, the Packers' Christian Watson had 7 catches and scored 2 touchdowns in that win over the Chiefs Sunday night, but he also had to leave the game with another hamstring injury. Matt LaFleur.
Does Christian's hamstring look like it's anywhere near as severe as the one?
We do not know yet. We're waiting till tomorrow and should have a better indication of where he's at.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We could catch a few off and on flurries today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high of 37 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 23. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high right around 40. And then we're going to warm it up on Thursday with sunshine and highs in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap, UK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We're broadcasting 540 AM WAUK in the beautiful studios here in Waukesha. It's Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and Sandy. Before we get into Liz Cheney, you remember her?
I do.
And Troublemaker.
Well, you know, she's a lot of people have changed their opinion about Liz Cheney. Gone from thinking she was a vile conservative to thinking that she's actually an upstanding person of great courage, regardless of her politics. And Adam Kunzinger, same way.
Because you know? Her politics really haven't changed so much.
No.
She's just a warner. But before we get into all of that, Sandy, what is the that people are concerned about the deep state? You hear people talking about the deep state.
Well, you know,
we can't trust our government. It's the deep state. What is that?
Well, I think that's a good segue from what we were talking about. You know, the people who are swimming and drowning in this strong economy and have believe that the government is not doing them any good at all and has left them adrift, believe that the government is acting responsive to somebody else. It's a deep state. It's a government that is gone rogue from being reactive to their political vote and is operating on its own initiative. So the conservatives have rather ably decided to describe a phenomena of the deep state, which they would describe as a deep state filled with liberals, liberal politically civil servants who operate beyond the reach of Congress and the vote to implement policies which are getting in the way of the people. And that's the deep state, okay? But the deep state is never defined quite that way. The deep state is just defined as what it is you don't like about your government that seems to be operating independent from your will. That's the deep state. And it's an interesting marketing kind of a concept because it has taken hold with many people. And there are many people who are angry about the deep state, so angry that their reaction is, let's get rid of the government, okay? We've got a direct attack on government, a direct attack on the police, the FBI, the police of the government, of the judiciary of the government. All of the pillars of government that affect the people are under assault now because it's believed that they are part of a deep state. And Trump is very ably able to grab a hold of this deep state to say, look, I'm a victim of the deep state. The deep state is conspiring against me. It's bringing all these legal actions against me. The Department of Justice and others who are part of the deep state have decided to get Donald Trump. And he tries to even make himself sort of a messiah, a martyr on behalf of the people by saying, look, they're after me today, but they'll be after you tomorrow unless you elect me president. Because if I become president, I will destroy the deep state. Now, does he say what he'll replace the deep state with? How the government will be governed without the people who do the governing today? No, because what he's really promising the people is that he, Donald Trump, will be in charge, and he, Donald Trump, will be making the choices, and he, Donald Trump, will be firing thousands and thousands of employees who comprise this deep state. I think he's publicly said that they will fire 15,000 people within days of his election. So we've got a direct assault on government, which is essentially what I was saying before. My fear is that there's this social reaction to the fact that we need to have policy changes that will help middle America thrive in a strong economy. But much of middle America has decided that they're so angry about government that the hell with public policy, let's just attack the government.
And as the emperor, I'll fix it.
Yes. And don't ask me how, because I'm wise beyond words, and I won't be able to explain to you well today how it is that I will fix everything.
And just trust me.
Trust me. Exactly.
Yeah. And people are doing just that.
Just that. I would say that Trump is getting to the point where he's as popular as he's ever been, in spite of the circumstances that we watched, in spite of all that we know now about him. There are more and more people who are buying into this concept, and I would say that while it isn't talked about as often, I do think that the deep state is the jugular of his particular theories that are grabbing hold with the people.
And that having been said, Liz Cheney, has former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the daughter of
Vice President.
Dick Cheney. It's giving out some dire warnings in a book she's written about Trump's second term.
Well,
dire warnings.
Yeah, well, the fact is that almost everybody who worked up close and personal with Donald Trump in his administration, many people who were highly respected before they have issued exactly the same warning. You are warned. That's been said by more than one, warning the American public that the threat that Donald Trump has to our democracy is so great that someone like Liz Cheney would say, look, if I have to, I'll vote for a Democrat because we cannot elect Donald Trump president because he will destroy what is fundamental to America.
I think, Sandy, that there are people who can't even conceive that it's possible that any one man could bring down a democracy, especially the strongest democracy in the world.
Well, I think what has happened over the past decade is a realization that our democracy is fragile, and that it's fragile because anyone who's willful, who wants to take on the actual bases for the separation of power, anyone who wants to attack the judiciary directly, anyone who wants to attack the Justice Department directly, anyone who wants to talk about fundamentally imposing political patronage as deep into the government as possible to make sure that it is supposedly responsive to the voters and not part of a deep state, actually can get a long way. You know, that our checks and balances are based on our politicians acting within the norm of behaviors. And if you're willing to act outside the norm, all bets are off.
So he's clearly been able to show the weakness in our democracy and our government. Let's say Trump, loses. Are there ways that we can shore up and make sure that this will never happen again? Or, I mean, it's up to the people.
Well, you know, the fact is that we have this angry group of people who are following Donald Trump as if he were a cult leader, you know, that he is the charismatic. And by charismatic, I'm not meaning that in a positive fashion. I'm simply saying this guy is a charismatic figure, much like Rasputin, maybe in the period of the czars. And if he loses, there's a real fear of what will happen on the streets. In fact, Lindsey Graham talked about how just yesterday or day, just recently, he said, he thinks it would be worse if Joe Biden wins. And it wasn't clear if he was saying that because he thought Joe Biden's policies were bad, or if he said it because of what he said in another breath, which is America will be burning if Trump loses the election. Well, burning sounds like people on the streets rioting. It sounds like revolution. It sounds like insurrection. It sounds like Lindsey Graham, who was supposed to be a respected establishmentarian in the U.S. Senate, has already jumped the shark and is willing to speak in Trumpisms, saying, look, if Trump doesn't get elected, you can expect the American democracy to collapse.
You know, Sandy, Liz Cheney warned in an interview with CBS' John Dickerson that the United States is sleepwalking into dictatorship. As the possibility of Trump winning another term in the White House in 2024 looms. Graham responded to her comments on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, arguing Trump was a better president than Biden. Now, let me, I think a continuation of Biden's presidency would be a disaster for peace and prosperity at home and abroad, Lindsey Graham said. Now, how can it be that Liz Cheney, who was, Sandy, I would say as respected, if not more respected, as a congresswoman than Lindsey Graham was as a U.S. senator, how can they be so far apart in what they see with this one man?
Well, Lindsey Graham had a lot of very negative things to say about Donald Trump.
Yes,
early in 2016, and it wasn't until President Trump became the president that Lindsey Graham began to lick his shoes. Okay, and I would say that's the best description of how Lindsey Graham has behaved ever since then. And so I guess Lindsey Graham is attracted to power the same way that moths are attracted to flames, and he's singeing his feathers as he speaks in terms of supporting Donald Trump, because I think that 6 years from now, 5 years from now, the people who have supported Donald Trump so strongly are going to go down in the annals of history in a way that they wish they hadn't. Okay, they will wish they could have rethought the weakness with which they decided to react to what they knew to be a venal and dangerous pulse in American society.
I'll tell you, Sandy, I did not even give it a second thought a year ago that it was possible when Donald Trump was running already a year ahead of time and was going to different places and say, I didn't think it was any way possible that Donald Trump could be where he is right now. And as again, Liz Cheney talks about slipping into a dictatorship. This is the United States of America, Sandy. Dictatorship and the United States of America seem improbable.
Absolutely. But, I think in most places where dictatorships have come out of democracies, it seemed improbable until it happened. And the problem is that if you look at the lessons from history, the sociological condition we have in America right now sort of is fundamentally weak in terms of its ability to resist authoritarianism.
All right, 844-967-2789. Don't touch that dial.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Andy Williams. And we haven't spent a lot of time talking about Donald Trump and his prospects for becoming the president of the United States a second time, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about a person who was a staunch Republican and a supporter of Donald Trump initially, Liz Cheney, who's written his book. A prominent Trump critic, Liz Cheney is now a prominent Trump critic, has been on media tour to promote her forthcoming book, Oath and Honor, a memoir and a warning. She has been repeatedly warning against electing Trump to the White House again, suggesting doing so would spell the end of American democracy. She also said in the CBS interview that re-electing a GOP majority in the House presents a threat to the country. She added that members of the Republican Party haven't chosen the Constitution. Now, those are really, Sandy, powerful, powerful words from a woman like Liz Cheney who bleeds the Constitution.
Well, she bleeds Republicanism, right, too. I mean, you know, and her father. And, you know, I just think that we ought to take stock and look at the source of the warnings that we're getting and the quality of the people who are giving these warnings. And it's
these aren't Democrats.
Well, these aren't Democrats, and these are very able people and very loyal people and staunch Republicans, people who believe that the party has run amok because it's lost its contact with public policy. Dwight Eisenhower, I was reading yesterday, Dwight Eisenhower, and I'll paraphrase his quote, in 1956, talking about political party, said a political party that doesn't offer to the people solutions to its important social problems is simply a conspiracy to seize power. And that's what we've got right now with the Republican Party. They're not offering any policy alternatives. They talk about problems. They talk about the border as a primary problem, and their main response to the border is to shut it down altogether. You know, they go all the way to the extreme that they know is not really susceptible to being enacted. And they talk about tax reductions. They talk about nothing else. They don't offer social solutions or solutions for the problems of the people. They simply are a conspiracy to seize power. And Donald Trump is the most extreme manifestation of that. He offers no predictable policies whatsoever. He simply says, trust me, I'll solve your problems, elect me, make me powerful. And his request for power is not in any way meant to be subtle. He talks about it directly, how it is that he will enhance the powers of the presidency. He will exercise them to the fullest. He will exercise his power vindictively. He will get at any of those people who've tried to get in his way. They get to the point of even talking about jailing, you know, people like the current Secretary of Homeland Security, who've been doing their jobs. And instead of simply talking about bringing them before Congress, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene are talking about imprisoning these people. Once Trump gets elected, he'll have the power, she thinks, to put these people in jail. Well, number one, he doesn't have those powers. But number two, the fact that people would think like that, that he would think like that, should be a warning light to all of us.
You know, son, I think it's one thing to say that, you know, Republicans who have been staunch Republicans, Charlie Sykes, conservative, right?
Right.
Yeah, I listened to Charlie Sykes for 20 years, maybe more. And Charlie Sykes was never, you could never mistake him for being a liberal under any circumstances. But Charlie Sykes has been blowing the whistle, along with many others like him, well-respected conservatives.
Yeah, and these people not only blew the whistle, but they blew it at the expense of their jobs. I mean, Liz Cheney was a leading political figure, and she knew that her job was at risk by taking Trump on, and in fact, she stepped down. Adam Kunzinger, same deal.
Right.
You know, and the list is quite long. Mitt Romney. These people have done the thing that they thought was right at the expense of their own personal political power. So I just think the American people need to look at this with real glasses on and need to be concerned about the warnings that they're receiving and should not belittle them or diminish them. The people who have even gone to the point of saying, look, this guy could be a Hitler, you know, which I think Liz Cheney has gotten to that point, are using that word not because they're trying to frighten us, but because it's a reality that authoritarianism in America could be very, very ugly.
You know, Sandy, it's amazing to me that on the flip side of it, people say, well, Joe Biden is too old. Okay. He's too old. Okay, what else you guys? Well, he's too old. Well, he's too old. Well,
I think the whole thing, unfortunately, in American elections is you pick the person who's least likely to do damage to the country and might do benefit to the country. And you know, there are, you know, I don't know who it is that was, I guess Lindsey Graham was somehow saying that Joe Biden had done damage to the United States.
Yeah,
I'm not sure in exactly which ways, but, because Lindsey Graham happens to line up with him on foreign policy. So he talked about maintaining peace abroad, but Lindsey Graham and Joe Biden are peas in a pod with respect to foreign policy. I think that Joe Biden versus Donald Trump is a no-brainer. Who do you vote for? You know, no one in their sound mind, I believe, should vote for Donald Trump, given what Donald Trump is presenting to the American people as his platform, okay? Not that he's a Republican. If the Republicans ran someone other than Donald Trump, you know, all bets would be off as to who you vote for. You have to look at the character and the policies presented by the candidates. But if you look at the character and the policies presented by the candidates, then better to elect someone who's old than someone who's got all of the spots and problems of Donald Trump.
You know, well said. 844-967-2789. Got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, we're going to talk about Ukraine aid again, because we're slowly coming to a point of no return. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is expected to sign a bill into law this week to let parents give up unwanted newborns in devices known as baby boxes. The goal is more protection for people in smaller communities where the stigma might be greater. The bill would let hospitals and fire and police stations that are staffed around the clock install temperature-controlled ventilated boxes in outside walls. Some Republican state lawmakers are making their move to disband the Wisconsin Elections Commission before next year's presidential campaign. The GOP bill would move all election-related duties to the Secretary of State's office. The legislature would have the last word on the office's decisions. Republicans have been unhappy with the commission since the 2020 election. Governor Evers would almost certainly veto the bill if it passes. Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire County Sheriff's Office has announced that one of the two people who died in a crash north of Fall Creek was a four-year-old girl. Deputies responded to the one-vehicle crash on County Road D between South 140th and South 150th Avenues around 11:30 on Friday and found the vehicle on its roof. Officials say the driver of the car, 33-year-old Michael Rush of Augusta, was driving at an extremely high rate of speed when he lost control of the car, around 100 miles per hour, according to witness reports. A group of Republican lawmakers in the Wisconsin state legislature is proposing to dissolve the state's bipartisan elections commission. The proposal comes just 5 months before the 2024 presidential election and would shift the duties of running the election to the Secretary of State's office with oversight by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The Secretary of State would not be allowed to take any action without the approval of the Republican-controlled legislative committees overseeing election issues. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the New York Knicks in what's called the knockout round of the NBA in-season tournament at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Damian Lillard.
You know, I think we've learned more and more about it as it's going on, and we've taken more pride in it each game. Against the team that we beat in the last one. You know, I thought we played a pretty solid game against them. You know, we're improving. So one game and then, you know, we off to Vegas.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, have entered the AP's top 25, ranked 23rd after beating Marquette over the weekend in Madison. Marquette dropped five spots from third to eighth after losing to the Badgers. NFL, the Packers' Christian Watson had seven catches and scored two touchdowns in that win over the Chiefs Sunday night, but he also had to leave the game with another hamstring injury. Matt LaFleur.
Does Christian's hamstring look like it's anywhere near as severe as the one?
We do not know yet. We're waiting till tomorrow and should have a better indication of where he's at.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
We could catch a few off and on flurries today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high of 37 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 23. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high right around 40. And then we're going to warm it up on Thursday with sunshine and highs in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Hey.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Sandy, let me ask you, are you aware of a takeover of by Kroger of Albertsons Grocers? You ever hear of Albertsons?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Albertsons and Kroger's. There's been this consolidation movement for a long time in the grocery industry. I'm surprised those two haven't already done it.
$25 billion.
Yeah, I mean, the antitrust division of the Department of Justice has really been asleep for a long time. And, you know, the notion that the antitrust division would have allowed this to happen in the 60s is about nil. But what the antitrust division now views as acceptable mergers has changed to the point where we've got four airlines that control 80% of the air traffic, and we've got grocery stores that are consolidating to the point where clearly they're in a position to have some power to price, right? So right. Competitive markets are supposed to be a place where the person who sells a product doesn't have the power to control the price of it. The price is determined by the marketplace. But if you have enough market power to actually raise the price and cause your competitors to raise the price as well because you've got so much market power, then you don't have a competitive market. And clearly our grocery industry's gotten to that point, as seen by the inflation that we just experienced, where without shortage, the price of groceries went up materially greater than the price of anything else. The price of groceries
and remained there.
Yeah, and it remained there. So much like gasoline tends to go up too fast and to stay up too long, even though it's a commodity and it's subject to price pressure. What is clear is the grocery industry does involve market power, and here we have even more market power with a potential merger.
So the antitrust arm of the Federal Trade Commission, why would this be considered an antitrust? Two of the major corporations in groceries in this nation, if they join forces, there is no other competition.
Well, the Sherman Act was the antitrust laws were enacted to, even though two companies might be doing it for without malice, if the result of a merger of two companies to consolidate is to create a company that has too much market power, then
which would occur in this instance.
But we think so.
Right.
Then the antitrust laws could be employed to stop that merger from happening. And there used to be something called the HHI index, which was employed by the antitrust division to measure the market power based on the percentage of sales within a particular market that were held by the top three or four producers. And if that percentage is too high, then it's pretty clear that something called oligopoly can take place, which means that if I decide to raise the price, the other three competitors will, instead of reducing their price to take business away from me, will raise their price as well. So we'll all make more money, okay, at the expense of the consumers.
So the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be there to guard against that. On behalf of the American people, is it safe to say that?
Well, the Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice can bring antitrust put into play the antitrust laws and to bring actions against to enjoin mergers. And in fact, a merger of companies requires a filing with the Federal Trade Commission as well as with the Justice Department, so that both entities have a kick at the cat to keep a merger from happening if it's going to result in too much market power.
So, you know, Sandy, the part of this is there's been no question complaints about many Americans that grocery prices are way too high. It's one of the major issues that they are dealing with. Clearly, as we talk about, you know, the amount of money that people are making, just trying to feed the family and keeping that going, is going to be impacted if the two largest grocers become one.
Well, what's clear is that profits go up when shortages occur in a variety of industries. And if there was real competition, profits wouldn't go up. Prices would go up according to the price of the commodity. But the profit from selling that wouldn't go up if there was competition such that if I raise my price, I know that I'll lose business because X over there isn't going to raise their price, and so they're going to take my business away from me. And so what's we've all gotten used to is the notion that corporations will make more money in, for instance, the grocery industry or the oil industry at a time of shortage, okay, which doesn't really make sense economically.
You know, Sandy, this is on the precipice of happening, and I dare say, as somebody who, you know, shops from time to time in the grocery store, man, I just to see prices go up even higher at a time when the people, you keep talking about that median family, they've got their hands full now. Hopefully you would think that the antitrust and the Federal Trade Commission will say no to this. Because no corporation should become that big where they can control.
That's the issue. Is the corporation and is the industry so concentrated in it, or is the corporation so big that they can exercise control over the price rather than simply letting the competitive marketplace determine the price? And to be concerned about raising prices at the expense of losing business to a competitor. And that's the way a market is supposed to work. That's the way Adam Smith thought they ought to work. You know, the purists on competition would believe that markets need to be regulated to make sure that there is not market power, as it's called, within the marketplace. But in America, we've kind of lost sight of this. And we have too many marketplaces in the United States in which we have free markets, yes, but they aren't effective markets, so, Sandy, because there's market power.
My fear in the country is that all of those checks and balances that were supposedly in place have been turned inside out and upside down. And so it changes totally everything that the nation had set in place for protection of the American people.
Like Tom said, it seems to be coincidental with K Street, the lobbyists and money in politics, and the softening of regulation of the industries that are active politically. And it's become much more difficult for an administration to have a Justice Department which is actively working against mergers that might create market power, because the big businesses that are wanting to merge end up being politically important players as well. And so you know, we end up, I think, losing the value of regulation, the value that Adam Smith saw with regulation with respect to our Occupational Health Safety Act, with respect to the environment, and most particularly with respect to marketplace, with respect to the antitrust laws and market power.
So, Sandy, I want to swing over quickly to the border and the tie-in. Ukraine and a clock ticking down on decisions on whether or not the United States is going to renege on its support for Ukraine. Let's listen to some conservatives, lawmakers say, well, you know, if they don't do something quickly, if the Democrats continue to not be willing to support the American people, this is what's going to happen. There won't be any support for Ukraine, because why should we support Ukraine when we don't support the American people? You see any correlation between the two?
Well, you know, I see a correlation in the defense budget overall, the fact that we ought to be measuring the importance, the things that are actually important to the American people, as compared to what we spend on defense, what we spend on foreign aid, what we spend in a variety of ways. So in that broad macro way, I see the merits of that kind of an argument. But with respect to this particular situation, we've got the American reputation internationally at stake. You know, I've been from the beginning a skeptic about how it is that we got involved in the Eastern Europe, what our policies have been in Eastern Europe, what happened in the pre-war period of Ukraine from 2014 to now. But the fact is, we're pregnant. We committed to support Ukraine. Ukraine stuck its neck out based on our commitments. And if we back off now for this sort of internal political reason, I can assure you that every one of our allies across the world will look at America askance. We will no longer be a dependable ally because everything we ever promise is going to be subject to domestic log rolling and domestic politics. And so, you know, do I think these two things ought to be pitted against one another now? No. I think we ought to look at the Ukraine money and policy based on the American critical interest, and we ought to proceed with whatever that proper policy ought to be, but we ought not to pit it against the policy at the border. And incidentally, the policies that are being proposed by the Republicans as the price for voting yes on Ukraine is hardly a long-term solution to the border problem. It's some very draconian steps, which I think fundamentally anybody looking at it from the outside understands are far too draconian to be acceptable. Okay, it's like they want to exact a price that is beyond acceptance. Maybe it's just the beginning of a negotiation, but they aren't acting like that. In fact, one of the political figures on the Republican side said, this isn't a negotiation. This is the price. This is the price the administration has to pay to get what they want in Ukraine. So, you know, what does a foreign country who's relying on the United States and the soundness and the reliability of our promises, what do they think of that debate?
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
On Ukraine, I'm challenging the Republicans. Are they going to run away from Ukraine and then maybe next will be Israel? Who are they going to keep running from? They want their cake and eat it too. Now, let's talk about the border with their leverage. And that's all it is. It's nothing more than leverage. So, Mike Johnson, you're supposed to be a man of the Bible. All right, Mike, here's a question for you. Until you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. How do you answer that, Mike? You're a man of the Bible. We are a humanitarian nation. We're known as a humanitarian nation. Not only are we a leader of the world, we're a leader of the free world. Well, if you're going to be a leader of the free world, humanitarianism is part of your building blocks. Where in the Bible does it say, don't help the underprivileged? Where does it say that, Mike? Come on, you're a man of the Bible. I'm calling you out. I can't believe these guys that hold that book up, and I'm not so sure he's even read it. I'm really not so sure he's even read it, because if he's read it, well, Mike, I worry about your attorney. I worry about your soul. I don't think you're headed in the right direction, Mike. So that's my thought. Thank you.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. What say you? It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial.
93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. K.
The Earl Ingram Show. I'm sure people are probably saying, hey, you guys stop talking and let that music play. welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Our phone lines are always open. Tom from L.A.
Guys, first off, that music was hypnotizing, I have to say. But I have a question about Sandy is why can't we look at everything in terms of I'm a small business owner. So why can't we look at everything in terms of a return on investment? So as an example, if you go ahead and you look at the different things that bring the return on investment back, you know, one of the best investments probably would be honestly food stamps. You know, it brings back a great return on investment. I think they should take every policy out there, and I mean this with the military budget as well. Look at it and see what does it really bring us, we the people, what does it really bring us back as a return on investment, and why it is that we don't talk to our politicians and say, hey, look, what type of return is this going to bring me? What type of return is this going to bring, you know, the country, we the people. I think if people started talking about that way, and I'm not one of those people that says business people should be running our country, because I don't believe that at all. But if the return on investment is the, you know, society's good, then that's a return on investment. Hey, but if you're going to go and launch a bunch of bombs, are we making a ton of money off of all these bombs? I know it's our main way of manufacturing things nowadays, but is that where we're making the money? But doesn't sound like it's making money for we the people.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to
Well, you know, I personally, I think we ought to look at it from the return on investment for our children and grandchildren, so we have a forward planning horizon for what we're talking about and what is the return that will be realized by society at large, by the community, right? A community view of what we do with our government money. And so I totally agree with that.
You know,
we were back to Ukraine for a minute, yes, though, the question I guess is, do the Republicans really mean this? Are they really willing to shut down funding for Ukraine? And
you don't think so?
Well, my view is that it's more likely the theater that they use for shutting down the government. It's the theater they use for the debt limit. This is another piece of leverage, and they're trying to use that leverage to try and accomplish something. But I think that the Republicans, were they to really stay firm with this and were they really to shut down funding for Ukraine, would find that the negative outcome in Ukraine, whatever it would be that would result from the U.S. terminating its aid to Ukraine, which would clearly have a huge effect on Ukraine's capacity to continue its war with Russia, and were it to have to discontinue the war abruptly with Russia, then the negotiated settlement would undoubtedly include terms which could be viewed very negatively from the Ukrainian standpoint, all of which would get laid to the feet of the Republicans. And I don't think they're really interested in having that outcome. But I do think that from the standpoint of American foreign policy, it's important that we have a reliable foreign policy that other countries can depend upon. And whether we got into this Ukraine thing the right way or not, we're in it. And we need to handle it responsibly. And I think one thing can clearly be said, and that is that the Republican approach to this is irresponsible. It's not constructive, nor is it reliable or dependable as far as an ally could be concerned.
So their perspective is, if you're going to spend this money on other nations, do something for the American people, tighten up the border.
It would be one thing if they said, let's talk about doing the right thing for the border, but they aren't saying that. They're dictating exactly what needs to be done. And it isn't just tighten up the border. I don't understand the exact terms that are being demanded, but my understanding or perception is that the terms they're demanding are very draconian and not
going to happen.
And that there was a negotiation ongoing, a group that was set up to negotiate. And the Republican position has become, no, this isn't a negotiation. This is a price. We have leverage. You want something. We stand in the way of it. We're going to exact a price. We're not talking about this on a negotiated basis. Well, okay, but that doesn't sound like the solution. It doesn't sound like a bipartisan long-term solution to a problem.
You know, Sandy, it's more than frustrating when, and maybe that's how the government works. Maybe it is public theater. You know, I don't know if it's always been that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Moody's and the people who are doing the financial ratings of the United States don't think it was always that way, but think that since it has become that way, the United States is a less reliable financial risk, okay? And so we have been downgraded financially as the result of this kind of theater. And this kind of theater with respect to Ukraine is going to downgrade us in the international arena in the same kind of a manner. It makes us less reliable. It's important to be reliable and we ought to have well-grounded positions that we are reliable about. But when we stake out a position, it's important that we be reliable.
Well, it's clear that America of today is not America of yesterday. We've evolved, and whether or not it's for the betterment or not, only time will tell, but we clearly have left the area of importance, I think, to the world, and maybe not, but it certainly appears.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think the end of the Cold War was the end of, we have always had a simplistic foreign policy since World War II and all the way through the Cold War. As soon as the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union collapsed, things became complicated. Okay, they became complex. They became the subject of a whole bunch of varied situations. China and all kinds of things have grown up in the interim. So I think things have become complicated, and we've had trouble keeping up with it politically.
All right, Sandy, thank you as always, man. We'll reconnect on Friday. Thank you, Calvin. Thank all of you who made the show go. Up next, Jane Metinier, As Goes Wisconsin, along with Greg
Bach.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.